And this time on Culture File, we're back in the study with writer and environmentalist Paddy Woodworth. Over the lockdowns, Paddy has been helping us compile a shelf of his favourite nature writings, from Rachel Carson to Michael Viney, Mary Oliver to Robert McFarlane. This time he takes down a volume from 2013 by Julian Hoffman, The Small Heart of Things, a book about nature and home and seeing fully the world that's happening about us.
We talk too often about nature and culture as if a hard border ran between them. But they are inseparably intertwined. We go to nature writers in the first place for vivid accounts of wildlife and habitats. But we often find them writing about cultural issues and also about their personal experience of awe and sometimes troubling mystery in the landscapes they explore. Barry Lopez, for example, is rigorous in his science, yet he confesses that he bows deeply and respectfully as he approaches nesting birds in the vastness of the Arctic. And very few writers interweave people, creatures, plants and landscapes with such insight, and let's not mince words here, with such love for everything and everyone they encounter, as Julian Hoffman does. I returned to reading his first book, The Small Heart of Things, for Culture File, with keen anticipation. I thought it would be a straightforward and very enjoyable task. Well, I was not wrong about its being enjoyable. I have spent very few happier reading hours in my life than I have rereading Hoffman over the last few days. Indeed, I sometimes wondered how I had stayed away from this book for so long. Such was the intense pleasure I found in the images he creates and in the lucid intellect and passionate emotion with which he illuminates them. But it's not at all straightforward to summarize this book in a few minutes. Many paragraphs demand the kind of close attention you need to bring to poetry. His canvas is very broad. He falls in love, reluctantly, with a beech forest. He is entertained by nomadic Albanian sheep farmers. His account of a butterfly collection in Bucharest and its wildly eccentric creator is worthy of a short story by Vladimir Nabokov or W.G. Sebald, both of whom, incidentally, are stitched seamlessly into the book at various points. Rich as his writing is, it has an enviable lightness that leavens its density. There are stories that sing out to be quoted on almost every page. Here is just one, written after he and his wife Julia walked their beloved Prespa lakeshore in Greece, looking for signs of terrapins. "Tracks are an ancient, magnetic language," he writes, "pulling us in with possibility." The elusive poetry of a print, he continues, reveals details of a life being lived. Soon enough, he finds evidence of a life he had not been expecting. Bridging the terrapin trail in the pale morning sand and dwarfing its delicate path were the prints of a large brown bear. They were fresh, as if the animal had just left. I let out a breath of deep surprise. Secrets and signs surround us, and the land retains a memory of what passes. The book's subtitle, Being at Home in a Beckoning World, is inspired by Rilke, and the writing lives up to the high bar of that reference. For Hoffman, the world, both cultural and natural, is continually gesturing to us if we only keep our senses alert. You might find the reference to home here odd if I go on to tell you that this is very often a book about migration, starting with the author's own life. Hoffman was born in Yorkshire, but his parents moved to Ontario when he was a boy. He then made a home in London's East End, a hive of human and avian migrants. He now lives in Prespa, a crossroads of cultural and natural diversity, the point where Greece, Albania, and North Macedonia intersect. He encounters migrants everywhere. After a severe storm, velvet scoters, a species of duck he has never seen on Lake Prespa before, turn up one morning. He finally works out that they must have flown 1,500 kilometres west from the frozen Black Sea to find this open water. While researching this theory in Istanbul, he has tea with another migrant, an Afghan teenager whose family has found a safe harbour there. But the young man dreams of returning to his native place. Hoffman is acutely aware of the terrible shadows cast by history, but he resolves them, at least partially, through the resilience of natural landscapes, and by encounters with kind and courteous strangers, even in places riven by conflict. He never underestimates, for humans or animals, the importance of attachment to place, to a landscape, as he puts it, that articulates something of ourselves. But he also constantly reminds us that we can make a home wherever we find ourselves. By fostering in each moment a constant and attentive awareness to what is there in the slanting light, within reach of our fingers, and near enough to taste. To be at home in the world, he concludes, is to let ourselves be drawn into its embrace. Not a bad book, then, to read in the shadow of lockdown.
Paddy Woodworth there with his latest addition to the Naturalist bookshelf. And to run your finger over the other spines up there, check out the Lyric site or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you check out at CultureFilePod on Twitter right now, you'll find we've just tweeted a link to the entries so far.